Welcome to WOCC Online.
We're so glad you joined us for church today. We know you're going to be blessed by the message, and we just want to encourage you to stand strong, believe God's word, and allow it to frame your life.
Let's get into today's word.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, "By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Thank you, Father, for your word, and we're going to feast on it again in Jesus' name. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Framed, like this here. See, framed. What's the frame for? It highlights what's within the frame, because what's within the frame matters. It's like I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, when we're filming this, I'm in focus. The rest of it's not so well focused because I'm delivering the message that the Lord wants us to hear. So framed. The world is framed by the word of God. The Lord wants us to know that by faith, us believing God, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Everything put into focus by what? The word of God. Everything put into, this is what matters, by the word of God. Put into structure. This is where it is, sort of thing. Anything within this frame works this way. And this is the focal point. The frame brings us right to what we really want us to focus on. Everything else is affected by what's in the frame. Framed by the word of God. And shouldn't we know what's in the frame? You see, the Lord wants us to know. He has made everything possible for us to know. He has every intention for us to know everything that's in the frame. He has every intention for us to know him so well, to understand him so well, that we have no problem believing what's in the frame, what has framed the world, his word. When we read Romans chapter 10, verse 8, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith which we preach. What is that? The word of believing. Believing God's word. Believing what God said. Believing what God framed the world with. Believing what God would love to frame your world with. But he needs you to believe him. And when you do, then you believe his word. And by believing his word, you act upon that. And your world becomes framed by his word. In Jeremiah chapter 1, he says that he told Jeremiah that he is watching over his word to perform it. He's watching over his word to perform his word. So that when his word, and we realize it's near us, in our mouth and in our heart, the word of faith, which we preach, the Apostle Paul said, when that's in us, when we're believing that, when it's focused in us, God's watching over that to perform that. That's what he's looking to perform. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he said, "We walk by faith, not by sight." We're not sight walkers. Sight walkers actually reject what God's word says, like the 10 spies. And let's go back to Caleb. We introduced that subject a couple of weeks ago. And I told you I was all excited to talk about Caleb. I'm always excited to talk about Caleb because he's a perfect example of a guy that saw the trustworthiness of God. He experienced the trustworthiness of God, even when people were not trustworthy, even when other people let him down, God never did. And he witnessed it, and he didn't forget it, and he saw it, and he never rejected what God said based on what God did. And Joshua and Caleb responded to God. They were continually responding to God based on what he said, because their world was framed by the word of God. Their world was framed by his word. It's the word of faith that we preach. This is what Caleb stood up. After the spies had delivered their report in Numbers 14, we had read that, and they delivered a negative report, 10 of the spies. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, delivered a positive, a godly report. Why? Based on what God said. Yes, the cities are walled, it's dangerous, there's giants, there's mean people and all this sort of thing. But God said, based on what he said, that frames our world. And what was within the frame? God said, "I'm going to take you into the promised land. I'm going to drive out everybody in front of you." because it's not their land. It's Abraham's land, and you're his descendants. That was his word, and his word had framed the world. As far as the Israelites were concerned, that was their world, and it was framed. Go in and possess the land. Well, 10 of the spies, they saw with their eyes, man, these are walled cities, monsters, giants, real dangerous place. We don't have the strength to overthrow these people. They didn't have the strength to get out of Egypt. But God said, I bore you on wings of eagles and drew you to myself. In Exodus chapter 19, he wonderfully brought them out of Egypt. Miraculously, prosperously, healthfully, everything that could have been done for them, he had done for them. And brought them to this place. Now go check the place out, because it's yours. You see, that was in here. But they quit looking at this. They quit looking at the frame that the Word of God had framed. And they saw with their eyes something so insurmountable, something so bothersome, something so dangerous, something so dramatically painful. They actually begged to go back to Egypt and back into slavery. What in the world? What kind of stuff is that? But you know, people can get themselves looking at things that are seen, looking at the landscape, looking at circumstances and situations, and they can become so bothered, you know, just say, forget the whole thing, like the Israelites did. Ah, just forget the whole thing. We'll go back to Egypt. Ah, forget the whole thing. You know, God's not able to deliver me. God's already delivered you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 said, the promise that God had made for them to go into the promised land was already in the frame. It was already done from the foundation of the world. He'd even told Abraham that's what was going to happen. It was all set. Okay, we're going to bring you in. And all they had to do is walk in it. And Caleb stands up and says, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. I've got a word of faith here, which I'm going to preach. He stood up and he said, we're well able for this. If God is well pleased with us, walking into the promised land is no problem. All we have to do is what he tells us to do. It's already started. And the Lord said, again, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, I'm looking over my word to perform. I'm going to perform my word. He's standing over it. He's looking over it. So we looked at Romans chapter 10, verse 8, but let's look at it in the message. We read that a couple of weeks ago. And he says, so what exactly was Moses saying? The word that saves is right here. As near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. I'm going to say that again. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. He says, this is the core of our preaching. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. The word that saves, he said, is right here. Come on, many of us know. You know what I'm talking about. At one stage in your life, you mightn't have read Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, but someone had suggested that you rehearse those two verses. Because right after verse 8, he says, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So someone explained to you, if you're a Christian, they explained to you and they said, look it, if you believe that the Father sent Jesus, and Jesus came, and he died for your sins. He shed his blood. He paid a price for our sin so that we could become sinless and in right standing with God, the word righteousness. And we could believe. All we had to do is believe. That's all I got to do is believe? Yes. He said, believe the heart, verse 10, believe with the heart unto righteousness, unto right standing with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We call it a prayer of salvation, but it's not a prayer at all. Really, it's believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. That is exactly what Caleb did in Numbers. When we read Numbers chapter 13, he said, let's go. Let's go right now. Come on, let's go. We can do this.
Oh, no, we can't. We can't. Circumstances, situations, mean people.
And he's like, wait a minute, but this is what God said. And has he lied to us? Has he ever done us wrong? Isn't everything that he said come to pass? Isn't he watching over his word to perform his word? Not your word, His word. Not your attitude, His attitude. Not our explanation of His word, His explanation of His word. And so you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth, and suddenly the greatest mountain that ever existed in your life, greater than Everest. I climbed Kilimanjaro a couple years ago. Greater than that. Greater than any obstacle that could be in front of anyone. What was that mountain? Eternal death. The inability to save yourself. The inability for people to do something good enough where God will say, wow, you are so good, you get to cancel eternal death. There's nothing people could do to do that. Nothing. Eternal death is stamped on humanity because we are all descendants of humans that brought eternal death upon all of us. Jesus came to eliminate that, and He put a stamp. He stamped His foot on eternal death, and He put a stamp of eternal life. So what's the catch, Pastor Jim? You have to believe the Father sent Him, and He accomplished precisely what the Father sent Him to do. And when He did that, and someone spoke to you, what did they speak to you? The word of faith, the word of believing God. This is what God said. They spoke that to you, and you said, yeah, I can see that. I believe that. And so if you believe it, they said, just say something to God on that behalf. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Righteousness just simply means right standing with God. And with the mouth, confession's made unto salvation. And so we don't have the stamp of humanity, fallen humanity. We have the stamp of Jesus Christ on our life. And that is eternal life. That is salvation from death, hell, and the grave. That is a resurrected life that we get to experience now, even before the final resurrection. Why? That's what His word says. That's about His word. Our world is framed by the word of God. It's God's word that He spoke. He set it in motion for us. All He wants us to do is believe that. If you believe Him, you'll believe what He said. And this was the problem that the Israelites had. Even though they saw all of the amazing things that God did, they still counted Him unworthy of trust. Where Caleb and Joshua are like, you must be joking. There's no more trustworthiness that exists than the trustworthiness of God. Everything He's done, all the magnificent, amazing things to bring us to this place. And this is what I want us to see. We all have certain things that we could complain about as we've gone through life. But look where we sit right now. Look where we are right now in life. And God has brought us this far. And we are full of joy. We're full of peace. Difficult situations, yeah. Circumstances, sometimes not great. But that doesn't take away our peace. That doesn't eliminate joy. That doesn't take away the fact that we are enjoying resurrection life now. And we have this eternal hope. We are so full of it. People want to know, what is it about you? Well, God has framed my world with His word, and He's watching over His word to perform it. And this is where we introduced Mark chapter 11. We just brought this up. We're going to bring it up again. It's going to take us somewhere in the conversation. And we'll start at verse 12. The next day, when they had come out from Bethany, He was hungry, He being Jesus, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, He went to see if perhaps He would find something on it. When He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." His disciples heard it, and many people would say, you know, what a thoughtless thing. Jesus just, in an emotional rage, cursed a tree. Well, Scripture says in Proverbs 26:2 that a curse without a cause will not alight. So Jesus, not being one to go against God's word, He was the Word made flesh, and He did what God said to do and said what God said to say, walked in the word, cursed the tree. Why? It was a bad tree. How do you know, Pastor Jim? Because this is just before Passover. Figs were ripe. Figs come on the tree before the leaves. And fig trees were in common ground. And so He expected to find at least a few figs on it. People weren't running around ransacking fig trees and taking all the figs off them. So He expected to find it. And He realized, wait a minute, this is a fruitless tree. Fruitless. Oh, the Lord has a lot to say about life being fruitless. He doesn't like it, does he? No. So Jesus said, hey, this tree's better off being firewood. So he cursed it. Now, verse 20, a little while later, in the morning, as they passed by, Mark chapter 11, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, dried up the next day. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. The things which are seen are not made of the things which are visible. When Jesus spoke to the tree, he framed that tree's world right there. As soon as he spoke it, that tree was dead. It was dead. Now, the fact that it was completely withered away the next day, that's a sign and a wonder, okay? So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Well, we know that in the Greek, in the original language, that is have God's faith. Have the faith of God. There's two reasons why we know that. Number one, because we have it in the Greek. Number two, because it's a Hebraism. It's something that would have been said in that way. Have God's faith, or have the faith of God, not in God. All right. Although that's good. That's not what Jesus said. He had God's faith, and he wanted us to have God's faith. And what was that? He framed the world with God's word. He framed the world with his word. That's what God did. God wants us to frame our world with his word. So he says in verse 23, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Let's look at it again. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Three times he's using the word says, saying. He's emphasizing saying, believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth. Remember Romans chapter 10:10. One believes in their heart and confession is made unto salvation. Believing in your heart and confessing takes you unto salvation. This is the lesson Jesus is teaching. It's the same lesson the Holy Spirit is teaching through the Apostle Paul. Then he says in verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. For assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, assuredly. I mean, this is boldness, Jesus is saying. When you hear somebody say something, oh yes, that's it, they're dogmatic, and this is it, and I'm telling you, it's pretty much what he's doing. Assuredly. And he's giving bold speech here, and I'm not letting it go, he says. Well, he didn't say that, but he has that attitude. And this was Caleb. If the Lord is pleased with us, and if the Lord is pleased with us, in Numbers chapter 14, verse 8, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It's a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Why? It was already framed. It was already in it, done and dusted. God had given us the portrait of it. It's there. All we have to do is walk into it. He's watching over his word to perform it. And there's a lot of us right now, we really need to just remind ourselves. What did God say to you? What has he said? What does his word say to you? What has his word brought forth in your life? Look in his word. Find what he has to say to you. From his word, what has he speaking in your heart? What is it that God said that comes to you and says, yes, I believe that. Yes. Yes, that's true for me. It's true. It's just as true as ever. And you're going to see it. You're going to see it. Just like Caleb could see, the promised land is ours. It's ours for not the taking. It's ours for just walking in. God's going to take care of it. Yeah, they're going to have to do some work. Of course we do. We just don't sit on our seat and, you know, eat chocolate-covered bonbons. No. That's not what life is all about. Got work to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. I'll close. I just hope you're encouraged by the word that God is looking to perform over our lives. 2 Corinthians 4, 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. I believe, therefore I spoke. That's how you were saved. We also believe and therefore we speak. That's what Caleb was doing, wasn't he? And as a reward, Caleb did enter the promised land. Those 10 spies didn't. They didn't make it. But Caleb did. And Joshua. Of course they did. They believed, therefore they spoke. And they were awarded what God had already promised them. It's already done. All they had to do is walk in it. Can you see it? You see, faith is the substance of things not seen. He doesn't want us to look at life like the 10 spies that saw with their natural eye. He wants us to see with our spiritual eye, see what God's word says. This is what I have for you. This is what life is for you. Not the current situation, not the current circumstance. This is what I have for you. Stay in faith, stay strong, stay believing. If you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 8, verse 9. In verse 10, you've heard God's word. You believe God's word. Now all you have to do is confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Give God the glory. Give Him the thanks. And we just want to encourage you. God bless you.